This is CliffCentral.com.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your boy, G-Man, the ad man. It's Wednesday once again. We're hanging out. It's been another advertising week. Well, it's been an interesting week in South Africa generally. If you caught me on Facebook or on Twitter, I was talking about coalitions because that's what time it is. You know, that's the stuff where, like, you know, you used to have this kid in your class or in your school. You didn't really like him. In fact, you were smacking him around. And now you realize that what you have to do is you have to make friends with him because that's the only way you're going to pass the year. So now everyone's making friends, coalitions and collaborations, y'all. And that's exactly what's going on the show today. I mean, I've got some exciting people coming to hang out with me today. Some of them have arrived. Others are going to be coming in from other places, and others are going to be beaming in here. So, I speak about collaborations and how hip hop and rappers are big on that thing. You know, so you guys remember when I was just talking about how when Usher had that collaboration with Jermaine Dupri. And they needed to do that. He said, I gotta admit, this is the hardest remix I ever had to do. And he actually had to get Shine in from prison to come in and do his collaboration over the phone from prison. So today, I'm gonna be Jermaine Dupri for a little bit. I've got somebody on the line that some of you might know, some of you might recognize. You've seen. Are you okay then? Okay. I didn't even introduce you yet. You're already coughing. Come on now. Okay. So maybe let's do that. Maybe let's start with the lady that's in the house, because she's here. We went looking for stuff about her. You guys do know her. Most of you guys out there will know who this lady is. And today's is a really great show because we're actually going to be talking to, you know, the people that most of you, of us talk to or refer to as the clients. And some of the clients are in the house, and the person that I'm talking to you about right now, let me tell you what some of the stuff is that I've read about her on the net, right? You might be able to figure it out. So it says, back in the day, say October 2014 to January 2016, she was a brand manager for Channel O. But before that, she was a brand manager for Mzansi Magic Music. If I went through all the stuff that's written about her here, that might take up the entire show, actually. All the responsibilities she had and all the great brands she's built, and everything she's kind of made come alive. Right now, she's the brand manager for Vuzu Amp and Vuzu, essentially Mnet, right? And it says here from October 2014 to January 2016. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think I should say too much more. I think you guys experience her for yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Lawina Worries. Applause. Yeah, that's what's up. No, that's because I'll tell you why. It's because you know, Touch and Gareth have kind of come up in a collaboration. The horn used to be my thing, you know, but I've still got it now. You know, but I'm just hoping that I can get, you know, full endorsement from Touch to use the horns. But I'm gonna do it once again though, and we're gonna go with the applause again. So what I wanna say is, guys, welcome once again, Miss Lawina Worries.
I love it.
What's
Thank
up?
You. Thank you for the intro.
Yeah, how you
I
doing?
Must, I made the cut finally.
Okay, not that much. But it's a work in progress. How you been, lady?
Good, busy but good. Hey, no complaints.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guys, what you guys don't know, I mean, let's get it out the way now. Uh-huh. Lawina's fingers are broken.
It's one finger.
Lawina's finger is broken. That's how hard they work, guys, at Mnet. They get stuck in, you know. Obviously, like, there's blood on the dance floor. Lawina, please tell us what happened to your finger.
I was playing netball last week, Monday.
Sure.
And during one extreme defense moment,
okay,
I went for the ball, jumped, defended my partner, and somehow bent my finger all the way backwards.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days? Is that the story we're running with? Are we going to go with that story? All right.
That's
okay,
why
cool.
I have a broken middle finger.
Guys, it's tough at Mnet. Lawina Worries, y'all. So... Now I wanna talk to you guys about who my next guest is. He's like I said, I mean, he's we're talking to him from over the phone because, you know, he had to be at places, he had things, he had commitments that he had to go to immediately after this. I mean, that doesn't mean Lorena's not busy. But you know, Lorena was able to move things around. But you know, this guest, you know, is not as good as Lorena at moving things around. But I mean, the guy on the other end of the line is a guy that that some of you might know as well. Quite an established a marketing head. I remember encountering him for one of the first few times when I was still at FCB in the corridors, and you could already tell that dude was about some big things. You know, he wasn't on a fuck around. And right now he is one of the guys that he's the guy that Nike allowed to come speak to me because I think it means that he has the tekoram. You know, mm-hmm. He knows what the right things to say are. He knows what not to say or not to get himself in trouble. And I hope he's on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Ningi. Ningi Minga, are you on the line, bro? Is he there? Ningi, is he there? Nah, I can't. Yeah, I can't hear him. Is he there? Okay, wait, hold on. Let's leave Ningi for a little bit. I'm gonna let the technical people fix the Ningi situation. let's chat to Lorena for a little bit.
Okay, cool. I'm here.
So tell me, Lorena, what have you been up to? Tell me what are you working on right now? I mean, there must be a whole bunch of developments happening right now in your world.
Okay.
You also handle a whole bunch of, you know, portfolios and things.
Yeah.
Let me know what's in your world. What's in your inbox right now? What are you working on?
There's so much in the inbox. I'm fortunate enough to work on some of the coolest brands in SA today.
That's what's up. That's what's
up. So definitely Vuzu Vuzu M, Channel Ohm, Zanzi Magic Music. They all fall under my portfolio of youth and music.
Okay.
So Vuzu M turns 2 years old this year in October.
Oh, that's
dope. So obviously a big part of the business is premium. And extending into the rest of Africa, which Vuzu Amp has done tremendously well. We've just moved down to Channel 103, which is in the premium bouquet. So we're next to Edge and Mnet.
That's fantastic. See, I didn't even know that it meant that, but I knew that it was a big deal. For them to move other Mnet, like brands that have the word Mnet in them, out the way for you, I knew that must have been a thing. Wait, hold on. I hear Ning is back.
Is he there?
Ningi, are you going to hang out with us or not, son?
I've just arrived. I'm sorry about that. There was a bit of a disconnection.
So yeah, it's okay.
Are you guys good?
Yeah, we're good, man. We're good. How you been, man?
I've been good. Been busy, working the usual.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. Yeah, and you good?
Yeah, man, we're real good. It's a real pity you couldn't come hang out with us in the studio, you know, to come get your take your grilling like a man, you know what I mean? but it's okay,
I'm just shy.
Like I said, you're shy on this one, you know. You're gonna do the collab with us over the phone.
Absolutely,
yeah. Yeah, but Ningi, man, let's get into it with you as well. I mean, being the Olympics. It must be a crazy, crazy time in your life right now. You know, I just asked Lorena now, I mean, what's in your inbox? What's the stuff that's keeping you busy right now?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's the Olympics. And I guess, you know, we don't just do, like, adverts and stuff. We've got a complete, like, consumer journey. So it started way before the Olympics started.
Right.
With our consumers. And now we're just picking up that journey now that the Olympics have started. So you're going to see a lot of work coming out.
Yeah.
Like on media, you're going to see a lot of kids running, training.
Yeah.
It's really tough, but it's really exciting as well.
And you are responsible for all that, because I was just saying to Lorena now as well that, like, you know, you're the one that they allowed to come talk to me. You know, they wouldn't let people like Masito come run their mouth here because, you know, because they probably don't know what the right answers are to some of these things. Shout out Masito. What's going on?
Masito's got no filters.
Mighty must hear what they're saying about you.
No, he doesn't listen to the internet. He's too old. But I guess I wouldn't say I'm in charge of it, but how Nike works is that we've got what they call, like, categories.
So right.
We've got business units, I call them that.
Right.
So Masito would handle football, for example.
Yeah.
Someone else would handle running. So there's four of them. There's running, football, sportswear, and women.
That's
so I work across all of those to make sure that the brand connects in the most efficient way with the marketplace.
Right. Oh, that's great. I mean, and it's really cool that you actually mentioned the women part of it. Have there been some initiatives or any initiatives that you guys have been putting together for Women's Month? Or is there anything that we should be looking forward to in the coming month?
Absolutely. I think firstly, let's start with the main woman in our stable, Kata Semenya. She's competing really soon.
Okay, that's what's up.
And I mean, the last time she competed in the Olympics, she got silver.
Right.
And so now, she's running the leading time in the world for 800 meters right now. So all eyes on her for her performance, and obviously in other reasons, which I hate to talk about.
Right.
But
right.
I think what the brand is doing is that we're standing behind her as our one of our best athletes, and which is what we always do. So that's very exciting, and keep a lookout for that. We're going to do something really cool when she races. And then we had on Women's Day, which is yesterday morning, we had about 200 girls train on Women's Day, and it was pretty incredible. Yeah, they all got together at like 7:30 in the morning, did something called a hit and run, which I tried it and I almost died. Hey. And I
Woman quite strangely strong, named that thing.
I don't know. Hey, that wasn't my idea.
yeah, no, carry on, excuse.
Yeah, right, Ningi.
Carry on, Ningi.
I walked into that one. But let's just focus on them being active. So yeah, so the girls came together in solidarity.
Yeah.
To really show like how to beat their limits, and I think it was a huge success, and all girls really enjoyed it. All the women, really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's dope, man. That's really dope. Yeah. Lowena is hosing herself here. Yeah, at you and hit and run. It's nice.
Ningi, I feel like you had a lot to do with it, Ningi. I really do. Deny.
Why don't you get the head out the gutter?
but now, Tom, I mean, this is interesting as well. I mean, have you guys ever found yourself in a situation? I mean, you work on Lowena, you work on youth brands and the exciting parts of television and you know, Nike being essentially one of the coolest brands, consistently being voted amongst the coolest brands.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever had like collaborations anytime recently or you know, are there any coming up? You know, now I'm putting you guys on the spot. Eh?
I'll let Ningi take this one.
Lowena, why are you gonna be like that now? But it's a good thing that we actually have worked together, right though?
Oh,
yes,
have you?
Tell me about it. I mean, I think for both Ningi and ourselves, the synergies are ultimately there.
Right.
It makes sense. It's cool, youthful, edgy, cool brands.
Yeah.
So whether it's in the likes of using our actual channel faces and as ambassadors for Nike, whether it's VN coming to actually broadcast from the events that they have on the ground, there has been a lot of collaborations that have happened in the past and hopefully more in the future.
That is so dope.
Yeah.
So dope. Well, there are a lot of things happening out there in the streets that I don't know about. You know, like, how does a homie catch an invite to any of these things, guys? I mean, you know, I sent you guys an invite and hopefully this is the beginning of a fruitful relationship of invites, you know, just back and forth. Sorry, you were saying, Ningi.
I should title the invitation "Hit and Run." Then you'll definitely
come.
I'm a changed man, Ningi. I'm a changed man. That life is behind me. Okay.
Good. I'm glad.
Okay. That's dope. So you know, the other thing that I like to do on the show, you know, just kind of get a bit of background, you know, to kind of who you guys are, you know, where you guys, how it all started for you guys, you know, because most importantly, I like to think that there's a kid out there who's going to get inspired by kind of your journey and where it started for you, because you know, there might have been a kid who's sitting kind of in your hood right now, you know, and who wants to know how it is to become what it takes to become Lowena Waddies.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll start with you, Lowena. Where's Lowena from? Like, where do you hail from?
Yeah, born and bred in Cape Town. I'm a Cape Flats girl.
I knew it.
So basically,
I knew it. I knew it.
I've been in Joburg for 7 years.
Cape Town, stand up.
I love that. Came to Joburg 7 years ago, got a job at Mnet as an EPG editor. So I don't even know
what's
what
an EPG
is.
Editor.
So basically you press the I button on your DSTV remote, right?
Oh, you type the storyline.
So the yellow strip, the gray blurb, I inputted synopses into an Excel spreadsheet.
That is so dope.
Hey, I literally did that for a year of my. That was my first job at Mnet.
But so wait, hold on. Are those pre-written or do you have to watch the programs and then write them?
No. So you Someone get else? It from the production house and they tell you exactly what's happening in each episode.
Okay.
And you literally write the synopsis for each show. So that's what I did. Like,
that is dope.
Straight from UCT, I was an EPG editor. From EPG editor, I took over all the social media. From social media, became a marketing assistant, brand manager, now marketing
Boom.
Manager. So yeah, like my growth at Mnet has been phenomenal in
that
the short
insane.
Space of time, but it's working hard, guys. It's
insane.
Starting from the bottom.
So tell me this though, Lowena, like in all that.
Yeah.
At which point did you and I encounter each other with you on a Wimpy ad? like where in between all that did you like the star in one of the Wimpy ads that I produced?
So from where do I even start with that? I've always taken multitasking to another level.
There it is.
So just, you know, subscribing to one job has never made sense for me from my varsity days. So I mean, from my time at Mnet, I was doing voiceovers. I had joined an agency. I was doing ads. As long as I never compromised my 9 to 5,
yeah.
I always juggled everything, whether it meant me coming into the office at 6 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
to ensure that I get to go to an audition at lunchtime.
That's
and
dope,
then,
man.
Yeah, and take leave where I need to. So I've always multitasked.
That's dope. So and I guess that also comes with that, you know, that work ethic, you know, is exactly what translates into you getting to where you got to as quickly or as meteorically as you have.
Yeah.
That's really, really dope. Ningi.
Yes, sir.
Are you from Cape Town as well, my man?
No.
Have you been in Wimpy ads?
No.
All right, well, tell us then. Tell us, Ningi, where do you hail from, man?
I'm actually a Polokwane, born and bred.
I knew it.
Polokwane. Hell yeah. Secrets. I know, we like diamonds. And then I moved to Soweto.
Yeah.
And then after that, moved to Kelvin where my dad had to buy a house under like one of his white friends' names. It was one of those times, right?
Those times, yeah.
Before there were North Gods. And then,
Pre-Liz.
Pre-white party. So that's where I hail from. I know Luna sounds much more exciting. It made me sound like a bore.
Dude, Polokwane to Soweto to the burbs. I think that's a nice story.
I mean, it's an exciting story. I mean, I see how you could catch like a bout of flu from that. Hot, cold, hot. But
we're tougher for it.
Yeah. I know, boy. But at the same time, you know, I mentioned earlier that I remember like, you know, bumping into you at the corridors at FCB back in the day. And I mean, you're already like kind of on your way to where you are right now. But if I remember correctly, there was kind of a very small marketing agency that you started at and compared to where you are right now. What was that like? What was like moving from like a really, really small space into kind of essentially one of the biggest brands in the world?
Yeah. Before that, I think where it all started was when I worked at Instant Grant. As a strategist, and Instant Grass is like a trend forecasting, and
with Greg Maluka and them.
That's correct, with Greg Maluka. He was the MD then.
That's right.
And we headed up the Joburg office because it was originally a Cape Town business.
Okay.
So
this keeps coming up. This Cape Town.
Yes, the whole time we didn't take over. But anyway, and then we also the youth trend forecasting and the consumer intelligence, which for me that's when everything started to tick.
Okay.
And then from there, when I was done there, it was a really good spell, learned a lot. Then moved on to agency, and I shifted from agency to agency because I was trying to understand, hey, what's the story here?
How many agencies did you work at?
It was FCB, CBWA, and the shortest stint at, I think, which one was it? I know, CBWA. Well, that was a short stint.
Right.
CBWA, yeah, where I worked with Tiger Brands and stuff like that. And then, I guess... I'm gonna say things.
Carry on. Emuna, this is a free platform, and they sent you, so you can say whatever you want.
I enjoyed what I was doing, but I wanted something else, and so that's when I moved to consulting.
Right.
Interbrands. I went back to Suits, and we consulted. We started what is now called Talco Mobile, but then it was ATA.
Right.
Disclaimer, I didn't want the name ATA, but anyway.
You can say that now. You say that now because you're not there anymore.
Own it, Ningi. Own
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
Hey, everyone knows. But
no, I know those meetings as well, Ningi, where somebody walks in and says, yo, bro, Lark, we've got this amazing thing. We did the research. And what they're saying in the townships, it's like a greeting. So when you pick up the phone, you say hello, but let's Lark go with ATA. And that's when you clapped.
I was like, what, really? that happened. It was a great learning. I always say these things would come with learning so you can be better. So I guess they've done full circle.
Yeah.
I consulted then and I consulted for a few banks within Interbrand. And I think Interbrand for me was when I really got into brand management.
Which
is quite different to like just advertising because they call it before the line. It's the stuff that happens before anything is an idea.
Before the line. I promise you, this is the very first time I'm hearing about before the line. And I've been in the game for a couple of years. Before the line, eh? let's hear it for before the line, guys. Before the line. Come on, guys. It'll get the horn too. Yeah, that's the sound. Before the line.
Before the line.
Yeah.
Before the line, yeah. I was before the line. And then, so we did a lot of before the line stuff, and that's what you learn about, like, brands, what makes brands great.
Right.
And so we try to apply the same principles that we learned from Interbrand with local brands. And I think branding is a huge opportunity in this country because there are a lot of strong businesses with great ideas, great services, but they don't know how to nurture themselves into a brand. And a brand is more than a logo, and it's more than a name. It's more like what you deliver to the marketplace. Like if you say I'm going to sell innovation, a brand sells innovation or it delivers innovation. So a lot of companies and brands in South Africa have a huge opportunity in branding because it really does help. And it helps with the stock price of any business. Usually branding companies work with blue chip companies because 70% of the share price is determined by perception.
Right. Gotcha.
Less than calculated or calculations or numbers.
Yeah.
So that's how important it is. So I learned a lot, and then from there I transitioned into Nike, where this has been another school altogether, another adventure.
I'm sure. Wow, dude, that's amazing. But speaking of like share prices being manipulated or being influenced by like perceptions and things. Lorena, you must know a whole lot about that. Because you guys, I mean, like, especially like on Vuzu, like, you guys have like a whole lot of personalities that you guys have to wrangle. You know, I mean, no one's going to mention any names right now. But
I don't feel like you are.
No. Okay. I'm just saying, you know, a whole lot of personalities that need wrangling. And how do you guys kind of keep, like, you know, because it's also quite easy to say we're an entertainment brand. So we're allowed to like test the boundaries all the time.
Yeah.
Unlike say a Nike where the boundaries are quite set, and testing the boundaries is quite a big process.
Yeah.
How do you guys manage that? How do you manage that?
I think initially the brief is when you're working for a brand like a Vuzu Amp, which is out there, it's out of this world, it's cool, it's edgy, it's always breaking the boundaries. You know, you kind of want presenters who express that, who are living proof of this is what our brand is, how
of edgy.
Of edgy.
Yeah.
How do we manage it? As soon as we see a potential lawsuit.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that's probably as far as we can draw the line in terms of guys. You can push it. But if it gets to a part where it's like offensive or where it's, you know, it's being disrespectful to a specific race or gender.
Got you.
That's kind of where you need to draw the line. Yes, wear what you want to wear. Wear 10 colors, whatever you're wearing.
Right.
Wear what you're doing. Be expressive, be all of these awesome things, but also know there is a line that you need to draw, and if, you know, there are repercussions should you cross that boundary.
And interestingly, is that your approach to how you do your branding work and your advertising work as well? Is it informed by the ethos that runs the
Definitely. I definitely think with especially within the local interest department, especially within a Vuzu Amp, there's no other channel that speaks like us. There's no other channel that looks like
us. You guys work with Black River, right?
Yes, we work with Black River.
Shout out Ahmed Tilly.
Ahmed.
Yeah, and what has that been like? I mean, have they been able to, you know, well, has it taken them adjusting to a certain way of thinking in order to get to do your
I mean, what's amazing about Black River is they were literally there from launch of Vuzu Amp.
Oh, that's dope.
So they developed the strategy. They came up with a launch campaign. So that whole Captain Makamisa.
Yeah,
where, like,
I love that stuff.
Star Trek,
I love that
entirely
shit.
Black class speaking in vernac.
I love that shit.
I mean, already that was, you know, that kind of set the tone for where the brand actually needed to go.
Yeah.
So it's been amazing working with an agency like Black River.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And I mean, they obviously go beyond just Vuzu. They work on some Zanzi Magic stuff as well.
Or
whatever. That's so cool. And with you guys, Ningi, because I know that you have a local agency, or you have local agencies that do some work for you, and you also get some work that comes from overseas. How do you balance that? How do you balance between, you know, kind of some of the local nuances that you want to put into the work, and then, you know, the mandate that comes from overseas?
I guess the good thing about working for like this global brand is that they encourage you to be local, hyper local.
That's right. I've heard this word before. I've just recently learned this word called local.
Local. Yes.
I stopped using that.
I just puked in my mouth as I said it. But yeah, carry on.
Yeah. So yeah, they encourage a lot. So we'll get the idea.
Right.
And, like, you know, the objectives, and then we'll take, like, you know, the creative direction, and then we'll apply it locally. And that's when we work starts getting exciting, because consumers can see, as much as you're a universal brand, I think consumers enjoy it when you're homegrown.
That's true.
So to speak.
That's true. I've seen some of the work you guys have done for Kaizer Chiefs, and you must understand it takes a lot for me to like Kaizer Chiefs work, you know, for obvious reasons. What gave that away? I think you guys have done some really, really dope work. You know, collaborating with people like Riot in previous years, and then also like with the stuff that you guys have done recently. Is that stuff that you have to get international approval for, or is that stuff that, you know, everything starts and ends here, obviously with the backdrop of an international kind of creative direction?
No, I think I won't call it approval, but I think everything is done in collaboration. So right. the best way to get the best ideas is through collaboration. We collaborate a lot with Global, where they, you know, we will come with the local direction, we'll give them a piece, and then we'll say, hey, this looks amazing. Should we try this? What about we try that? I think the best way to get to the best ideas is to debate it and chisel it down to its finest form. So that's how we work with our counterparts.
You know what? It's actually primarily the reason why I called you guys onto the show today. You know, like there's this fascination with what actually happens after we leave, after a presentation.
Yeah.
You know, like we come there and we present, or you guys come over to the office. You know, you eat the biscuits and you leave. You know, and because I'm completely fascinated by you know the process that happens on the other side, and how much you guys actually have conversations about creativity.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's very interesting. It was very important for me to have you guys come through and the brands that you guys work on, because of the level of creativity that exists in your day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
Right. But when it comes to the ads, I mean there's a lot of frustration that come from agency people who go, damn it, I just feel like they just don't get the fact that I'm trying to do amazing work for them.
Yeah.
You know, and how do you kind of maintain, like, for example, with what you said now with about Ahmed and Black River, how do you maintain a relationship with them that keeps it mutually respectful from a creativity perspective?
Yeah, I think the beautiful thing about agencies is that they're actually brand custodians.
That's right.
So essentially, no one knows the brand better than either yourself or your agency.
That's right.
And I think if we're all working
and that's collaboration as well, right?
Exactly. If we're all working towards the same objectives. We know who we are. We know what we stand for. We know the brand's better than anybody else.
Right.
And if either of us at both, you know, at a certain juncture can't see that what we're working towards is actually what we're pushing, what we stand for, what we believe in, I think that's kind of a way where we're like, okay, now we can't reach this middle ground, because it doesn't make sense for either of us. You're not reaching your objective and I'm not reading my objectives.
Got
either.
You. But we all know that creativity kind of works that way as well. You know, it gets that very, like, you know, that very like subjective place. You know, obviously we have things like the brand essence in the background in order to make sure that, you know, we're kind of still saying the right things. But what happens when you find yourself in a situation where I'm going as the creative, I feel like that we should be pushing the brand to a certain place, and you feel that way as well.
Yeah.
But then there are other people, you know, in your system that you have to convince of that, and they come back and they say it's wrong. How do you deal with that? Because you also believe what I believe, but now you have to tell me why you think it's wrong.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
I think that's a time where you actually need to stand with your agency.
Boom! Guys, I wanna record that. I wanna start that again. After the applause, I wanna hear that again. That's the time.
No, I'm being so serious. Yeah. Like, there's been lots of times when we've actually have to go with, as a marketing team, we have to go in and present with our agency to our director or to our CEO and all believe and say, why do you believe in this idea?
Right.
What makes it work? This is over and above the budget. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
A lot of the time, there's actually budget restrictions more so than us not believing in the idea.
Yeah.
Everyone wants that dream kind of like, oh, wow, we shot this for $2 million in Zanzibar. Yeah.
Everyone wants Nike budgets.
Everyone wants Nike budgets. If only I could have Ningi's budgets.
We've got small budgets.
But I mean, I ask you that because a lot of creatives will tell you how much they feel like they've been thrown under the proverbial bus, you know, where we agreed on this thing, we all thought it was dope, and now all of a sudden, you know, now there's pressure from above. It's how, my man, you know, you've just turned on me, and you know what I mean, because and that can like get strenuous on the relationship with the agency, because now they're going, but we thought we were on the same page.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself, Ningi, have you dealt with that recently? And well, have you dealt with that, and how do you deal with it?
Well, I guess just to echo what Luna said.
Yeah.
We go in as a unit, like one unit, you know, at the front. So me and my agency, we work together. We're partners. They never call me friend, and I never call them a supplier or my
That's
agency.
That's right. That's dope.
We literally work together, and the best way to get the best work is preparation. I'm sorry to say that, it sounds boring, but
no, got you.
We do a lot of consumer intelligence, understanding the marketplace, Because it changes every single day. So you have to understand them. And then one of the most important things, probably the most important thing, is understanding the brand and every single intricacy of the brand, like right. where it comes from, what it's doing, and where it's going. And I promise you, once you're at that level, then there's very little room for, like, you know, nasty boardroom sessions.
It becomes
a lot of fun in perfecting something that has come from very strong idea generation and preparation.
Got you.
But we work together, and I enjoy working with our agency, and they hold the same passion as we do.
But now tell me this, Nonengi. You know, obviously, because you've been on the agency side, right?
Yes.
And knowing what you know from agency side, right? Has that, do you think that's made you a better client?
Yes.
Or as
yes. yes. yes.
Because
man,
you can say, Emona, but I know how that process works.
Yeah, no, dog, can I be honest? Because as I said, like you, as we bump each other in the corridors, agency life can be quite hectic, especially when you work within the agency.
Right.
And you've got clients that are like dragons. So I'm very empathetic when I work with my agency. Like, you'll find a lot of my team members going, so can I get this to us tomorrow? I'm like, nope. Yeah. They don't wave once, and
got
what you. They're going to do is they're going to work on it, give them time, so that's when you get the best work. So,
you're going to make me cry, yeah. Nigga. You're going to make me cry right now, sir. You're going to make me cry.
good. So yeah, no, we I'm very empathetic to agency life, and I think I always will be, because I've been on the other side where we have to sit there like midnight, and
yeah.
we don't even have a weekend because we always have to be on standby. You know what I mean? Like, people have to live.
I know all about it. I know all about those pizza nights,
dog.
Man. I know all
dog,
about them.
They change a lot, but they still happen.
Yeah, it does. It does. And I think, you know, for me, it's always been one of those things that has needed to be explained to certain clients, and, I'm glad when I deal with clients that understand that, because like, you know, you literally can only get one of the two. You can either get it today, mm-hmm. or you can get it 2 days from now, and it'll be better. Yeah. You know what I mean? You
exactly.
can insist on getting it now, and I'll give it to you. You know, but you know, I'm gonna put my alias on it. I can't put my name on it because I know that I need it for it to become better, and that's
exactly.
really dope. I like that a lot. So I want to now understand something about. Well, actually, first of all, I want Luena to tell me, what do you think is the one thing that you would tell creatives, right?
Mm-hmm.
About your experience, like a day in the life, mm-hmm. right? That would make them understand, right, how you respond to work. You know what I mean? So like the reason why you know it can't just be an absolute yes up front.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So kind of take us through like what happens like when you walk into your office first thing in the morning and kind of like a typical eight. How many hours is it? 3 or 4 hours? 7? 2?
What a typical day in my life. What I would tell somebody
at work.
In the agency. What?
Yeah. Yeah, so how what your day looks like, you know, so that they understand that, you know, sometimes Imtiaz wants something and what Imtiaz wants, Imtiaz gets.
Between meetings, between responding to emails, because people take that for granted.
Yeah.
Like, you literally need to come in early just to respond to emails.
Right.
So between meetings, emails, statuses with my direct team.
Yeah.
Actually doing work, so the writing of the briefs, the checking the offlines, checking the onlines,
right.
Making sure that certain things have been done.
Yeah.
So, is there a digital campaign? Is it rolling out? Have things gone live? When is the next campaign? So, planning, meetings, statuses. It could also involve recs. It could be pre-prod. We have a new shoot. No day is ever the same. So,
and that's exactly it. I mean, that's exactly what I was trying to illustrate. The fact that, you know, my presentation happening at kind of 3 PM is not necessarily the only thing on your plate.
Yeah, and especially if you're working on a portfolio. So Ningi works across all of these different categories.
Right.
I work across multiple brands. So
that's
I could Vuzu needs something, Vuzu Amp. Channel O has a brief that's due. Mzansi Music has new imaging that needs to launch. So we're testing imaging.
Yeah.
We're launching new campaigns. We're briefing in presenters. We have an event, 2 events next week at Lurie's.
Yeah.
We need to go and check venues. We have to check, you know, book.
Shout out to Lurie's. You guys know Lurie's is next week, right? I hope you guys have been taking Stameta, cleaning out your systems.
So yeah, no day. Yeah, no. Ningyo, you coming, by the way?
Hey, I'm scared.
Are you going to be there, though?
Woza, come.
Have I been?
Are you going to be coming to Lurie's next week?
I'm considering it.
He's gonna be there. Don't you worry.
Okay.
He'll be
there.
No, but that's really interesting. And again, I guess it kind of leads me to my next question, which is, you know, so do you think there's a lot of value in separating or in kind of putting out different parts or different briefs to different agencies, or do you think that we should still be about, you know, the big agency that that houses everything, and every brief goes through pretty much the exact same agency? Or do you think that the, you know, like diversifying, for lack of a better word, actually changes or influences the quality of your work? Ningi, I'll start with you.
I think it does help. Let me speak.
Which part helps? Having more than one agency?
I think from personal experience, right?
Yeah.
If you have the right partners delivering, yeah, like let's say on a football pitch, you got specialists.
Right.
So if you got the specialists in what they do, and you collect that to form a strong team, then it helps. So to answer your question, I think for us, we always say, look, we've got four business units, but then we always focus on the one that's important at that time, so that we don't drop off, because it's very hard to do everything at your ultimate best.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not an octopus, so...
Right. So many sports metaphors. This shit is ingrained, son.
Oh boy, you need to sound like a geek.
All right, sorry, carry on.
No, I'm kidding. So yeah, we do love to diversify, but we only diversify in what your strengths are. So
right,
we'll have a brand design agency, we'll have a creative agency, we'll have a digital agency, to deliver on the same mission. Do you know what I mean? Because I'd rather have specialists, but I always say, let's send up 300, you know. We don't want to send out thousands of people to come do work, because it comes, you know,
you
waste time. It's not efficient. But when you've got the smallest but the best people to work on something, that's when you get the best results.
So would the ideal situation then be having like one agency that has all those specialties or all those specializations in it, being able to kind of align from a thinking perspective, but being able to deliver all those specializations, or is it worth it kind of dropping off some pieces into a specialist agency as opposed to like one, you know what I mean? Get what I mean?
So as opposed to having
hypothetically like a TBWA that has everything in it, you know what I mean?
Mm. Look, it's your own, and I think, like I said, I prefer the latter.
Gotcha.
Because I don't know, there's benefits to having everything under one house, but I've never worked in that scenario, so I can't say it's the best way to do it or it's the worst way.
Yeah.
The way I've always worked is to have like the specialist, and we also like to, you know, create jobs in the marketplace.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You know, so it's very important to
spread that
work to you.
That's right. And is that the same with you, Lorena? Does it work the same with you guys?
Yeah, it definitely is the same with us. We have Black River as our agency, but we also have on-air agencies. So
okay,
we have production
you.
Houses like Clearwater, Monarchy, Birthmark. We produce our maintenance on a...
Shout out to the cats of Monarchy. That's what's up. That's Ernest and them, right?
And then we also have our on-the-grounds activations agency, which is Green Star. So we do make use of other agencies with their specialities, but in terms of like the actual housing of the brand, we prefer to stick to one.
That's dope. That's really, really cool. And then, guys, I mean, that also kind of goes back to the beautiful process of pitching. You know that part that all the creators out there are clapping now as I say pitching, because they all love it. We all can't wait to pitch on new work.
Yeah.
And you know, and do all that work that we present, and then that's never used.
Yeah.
You know, we present it and everyone says it's cool, and then they bring in the new brief because the stuff that you had is never actually going to work. Tell me, like, kind of what, and I'll start with you, Lorena. What do you think the pitch process, right, as it is right now?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things about it that work.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things about it that make people go, wow. This like, wow, is this still the process? It feels like we're still doing it the way it was done, you know, in the beginning of adverts.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you, from your perspective, that you think could be done differently in order to make the pitch process a little less painful?
Yeah, I think like it also takes a little bit more initiative from the creative side.
Right.
So a lot of the time you receive the brief and your brief is your Bible, which essentially it should be.
Got you.
But in terms of actual research on the brand itself, I think there's room for that. A lot of the time people are like, oh, okay, cool. You need a superheroes campaign. So you said you've listed these five superhero shows.
Yeah.
The Flash, The Arrow, Marvels, etc.
Yeah.
Cool, so we're going to focus on those five.
Got you.
Over and above those series on our channel,
There's a whole bunch of other stuff. Got you.
Are you speaking in the tone of the way that we should be? Have you watched our ad breaks? Do you see our ad-ins? Do you go to our events? How invested are you in our brand? So from a pitching perspective, over and above the amazing work the creatives are already doing,
yeah,
could they kind of be a potentially kind of more
predictive?
Yeah, more proactive work into what the brand is, or more research on the brand, as opposed to just looking at the brief and being like, okay, cool, this is exactly what I'm doing. Anything like over and above this, I don't know if I can deliver on, because that's not what the brief said.
I like that.
So for me, I think it would be dope to kind of see creatives go over and above their own comfort zones.
Yeah.
Over and above the actual brief, coming into our offices and sitting down and be like, okay guys, tell me more about this brand.
That's so
on your
dope.
Day-to-day like living, what actually happens with the Vuzu
You know what? It's funny you should say that, and I can actually picture a whole bunch of creatives just kind of, you know, hanging their heads a little bit, because I've been in one of those pitches where you walk in and you get the sense that, like, you know, all the questions you get back are like, you didn't research everything, did you?
No, you didn't.
You know, and you just kind of go, okay. And it's a really important part of the pitch process, I think, that you just mentioned, because, you know, I get the brief that says, you know, Vuzu Amp, but because I watch Arrows,
yeah,
I think everything about Vuzu is about superheroes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's really, really important. So I like that. And with you guys, Ningi, plus, in fact, when last did you guys go out to pitch, Ningi?
I think it was beginning of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Beginning of the year. Yeah.
Carry on.
No, I'll go ahead, Gary, come on.
No, I'm saying, I mean, and what's your take on the pitch process and how we could make it better on ourselves and how we could kind of make it better holistically?
I think, I guess, like, we live now in a world where everything's fast.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time, you know, agencies are expected to deliver on a brief, like, very quickly. So I don't think that'll ever change.
Yeah.
That's going to happen going forward, because we work in a very current space and time.
Yeah.
But I think just that's why I'm wondering why I was even interviewed, because the winner hit the nail on the head. Knowing the brand and doing your research and knowing the marketplace makes it so much easier for your research. Do you know what I mean? Because a great idea is a great idea. Like,
that's
you can
right.
Wake up and have a shower moment, but it's just a great idea.
Got you.
Break it down to the most granular level where you know that you're foolproof. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
a lot of stuff comes with research. You have to research. You have to research in order to get to something that you know is the best idea or the best journey for the consumer. Because you can't just wake up and have a good idea. I think everything that we do comes with a purpose.
Yeah.
It's not just like, we don't just sell shoes or make cool ads.
There's a whole bunch of other stuff that goes behind that.
Yeah, exactly. So I think with knowing the marketplace and really, really understanding the marketplace and their mindset, not just telling me about LSMs, like, I don't even use LSMs anymore because I don't think they exist, but just understanding the mindset of a consumer and how you can take a consumer from one level to another and then accompany that with brands, understanding the brand, understanding what the brand is about, where they want to go. You can't go wrong, man. You can't go wrong, because, you know, that's what becomes a work of art. You can't necessarily say it's right or wrong because
it's a work of art. But if you
take all those steps, you'll get to your Picasso moment. You know what I mean? You'll get to your Matisse is apparently displaying right now. You get to that moment where it's amazing.
You know, you can't touch Ningi in the world of metaphors. He can run with one metaphor forever. Picasso's works of art, Matisse's. Look at you, son.
Can I just drop one again? I didn't realize.
He even does it inadvertently. You didn't even know you were doing it. That's your thing.
It's the way I speak. Maybe I
should
get out of the industry.
Don't do it.
But check us out. You know, guys, you'll not believe it. But the hour's almost up. We're almost done. It's like we've got like a couple of more minutes left on the show. We didn't have to cover everything else that I wanted to. But I mean, sometimes you know, I think that's why the powers that be must be out there. I hope they're out there listening. I saw Gareth out there somewhere. I hope he's listening. That maybe just another hour for the slot in order for us to be able to get into everything. But I'm really, really grateful that I was able to have these chats with you guys. Like, it was so introspective. You know what I mean? Like, I got to get into what I think some of the questions that I know as an agency person, I've always asked myself, like, guys, you know, what else can I be doing, you know, better? What can I, and try to get into your guys' heads, you know, before presentations. But you know, and just in parting, you know, I'd like to know how, I mean, if you had three advertising or branding entrepreneurs in front of you. So whether they're starting a creative agency, whether they're starting a branding agency like Interbrand in your case, Ningi, what is the one thing that you would tell them right now that you think would equip them for kind of being able to come sit in front of you and pitch or and present in front of you? I'll start with you, Luina.
Wow, that's a very good question. I'd say start small, hey?
Yep.
So the fact that they're sitting next to me right now essentially means that they want to get some of my business, right?
That's right.
So instead of going your first pitch being about a 1, 2, 3 million campaign. Start small so that I have reason to believe in you. Right? So trust is earned. Relationships are built over multiple years.
Love that.
So if you're a young entrepreneur and you've never worked with a company or a brand the size of either Nike or a Channel O or Wuzu Amp, I'd say take the smallest brief to be, come back to me and say, what can I do with 50,000?
Beautiful. I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot. That seems very fair. Ningi?
Very true. I'll say, have patience, because you can't eat like an elephant whole. So you gotta focus on your strength in order to get to the next level. Like be a master of one, as opposed to trying to do everything. Because when you try to do everything, you can never be a champion. Trust me, like unless you're the decathlete or something.
Got you. Yeah.
Jordan didn't sprint. All he did was play basketball. You know, and all the players football. Just focus on your strength, and I promise you'll be the best. And that's where you can start. You know, building a stronger team in order to diversify. Now you get more specialists. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. Because a lot of the time we're very much into instant gratification. We want to get in there. Like, I want now. I want this now.
Yes.
And unfortunately, you can't, because there's a lot of elements that come to it, like trust and, you know, relationships and, you know, delivery. There's a lot of things that come into play. So you can't just put, you know, bet everything on that. You know, I'm not one person. You have to nurture the relationship to get to a level where you say, you know what, we've done a lot, we've done the best work. If you'd like to move to the next level, good. Unless you want to, you know, hone what you have and perfect it to something that is strong. But I guess, you just have to have patience. As we say, start small, but also just focus, like be the master of one, like focus on your specialty and be the best.
That is so dope, man. Guys, that is amazing. Thank you so much, guys. I mean, this is the hour. Done, you know?
Thank you.
And it's been another inspirational hour where I'm sure somebody out there has gotten answers to questions that they couldn't ask. I'm sure I'm hoping I've asked everything or most things that people wanted to hear. But I'm constantly inspired by, you know, by being able to kind of, you know, rub shoulders with people like yourselves and be able to kind of glean some of this awesomeness that you guys put out there. So I think that's really, really dope. So yeah,
thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Really, really cool.
And hopefully when I do get 2 hours, we'll do this again.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, and that's it, Joel. I think let's hang out again next week. And it's been another dope Wednesday. And like I say every week, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having tequila. Cheers.
Nice talking to you, Ningi.
Can I talk to you too?
Or
we'll see you soon.
Cool, Nings.
Cheers, bye-bye. Get out of here.
This is CliffCentral.com.